Klima-Kaleidoskop.
Eine Radioreihe in Kooperation mit dem Klimalandesrat Oberösterreich.
Wie kann ein klimafreundlicher Alltag aussehen? Expertinnen entwerfen positive Zukunftsbilder, wie wir alle etwas für den Klimaschutz tun können.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge Klimakaleidoskop. Wir sprechen hier wieder über ganz verschiedene Aspekte von Klimawandel, Klimaschutz und einem klimafreundlichen Alltag. Für ein paar Episoden legen wir jetzt den Schwerpunkt auf das Thema Landwirtschaft, und zwar insbesondere die kleinbäuerliche Landwirtschaft. Im Herbst 2024 fand auf Einladung der Via Campesina, der österreichischen Klein- und BergbäuerInnenvereinigung, in Zusammenarbeit mit der Kulturhauptstadt Salzkammergut 2024 eine Konferenz zu kleinbäuerlichen Wegen statt. Diese Gelegenheit haben wir genutzt, um mit Jan Douwe van der Ploeg zu sprechen. Der Niederländer ist Professor für Agrarsoziologie und hat sich in seiner internationalen Forschung speziell mit kleinbäuerlichem Leben und Arbeiten beschäftigt. Besonders interessiert ihn dabei die Frage, wie Landwirtschaft und Klimawandel zusammenhängen. Wir haben Jan Douwe van der Ploeg auf Englisch interviewt und unter anderem gefragt, welche Rolle kleinbäuerliche Landwirtschaft, auf Englisch Peasant Agriculture, für den Klimaschutz spielt. Zu Beginn erläutert er aber die drei wichtigsten Bereiche im Zusammenhang von Landwirtschaft und Klimakrise: den Verbrauch fossiler Energieträger, die Abholzung des Regenwaldes und die Benutzung von chemisch hergestellten Düngemitteln.
Now we all know that today's agriculture, especially dairy farming, is very much related to the climate issue. For several reasons, due to the use of fossil energy, but this is not the most important aspect. The use of chemical fertilizer is a tremendously important issue, because chemical fertilizer in the end is nothing else than condensed fossil energy. So it's a very important source of climate heating, this chemical fertilizer. And the third link between agriculture and the climate crisis is the deforestation of the Amazon area and increasingly the Llanos in Colombia, etc., for soy production, which is the basic ingredient for animal feed, the concentrates, the so-called concentrates that are used also in Europe. So agriculture contributes a lot to climate heating, but the good news is that there is not just one way of organizing and developing agriculture. There are different ways, and one of the very interesting ways that the public opinion nearly forgot, but it's still there, that is peasant agriculture. And peasant agriculture basically uses little external inputs, uses its own resources, the available land, the available grasslands for feeding the cattle, and so on and so forth. And this emerges increasingly as a very important alternative to, well, the more industrialized type of agriculture. In my country, this is very clear. There have been peasant cooperatives, also called territorial cooperatives, that already 30 years ago started to say, okay, if nature is important to society, if landscape is important to society, and if the issue of the environment, climate included, is important, okay, but then we will do it. It's our objective to improve, to maintain, and we'll do so with our knowledge, we will do so with our machinery, whatever we have, with our labor, and we want right remuneration for it. So they said government schemes that are imposed from the top will never function well. We need our own insights, and we can make big steps ahead. And so 30 years later, we are now able to evaluate this and to compare this with dominant policies, and it works absolutely very, very well. Peasant agriculture in this respect is a very promising alternative. Much of my research centered around issues like this, centered around also issues like care for landscape, how to use the more difficult areas like the Almen you have here in Austria, but so in my country as well. There are landscapes with a lot of hedgerows. So from the official point of view, these are difficult areas, not very apt for agriculture, which is nonsense, of course. We cannot forget about these beautiful areas. And then we have to understand that peasant farming is really strategic to maintain these beautiful landscapes and the biodiversity that's included in it.
Jan Douwe van der Ploeg beschreibt also kleinbäuerliche Landwirtschaft als unerlässlich, vor allem für etwas speziellere Flächen, wie zum Beispiel die Almen, denen wir übrigens auch hier im Klimakaleidoskop noch einmal begegnen werden. Jetzt aber zur Frage, welche politischen und gesellschaftlichen Voraussetzungen braucht es denn, damit Landwirtschaft im kleinen Stil gut funktionieren kann? Der Agrarsoziologe plädiert für ein Modell der gesetzlich bedingten Selbstregulation im Gegensatz zur bürokratischen Überregulierung.
We need to create room for the official expression is for legally conditioned self-regulation. So the meaning that peasant farmers from a certain area, from a certain territory, can regulate themselves, define what are the instruments, what are the objectives, but it's legally conditioned. Yeah, it says, okay, if you reach the objectives, if you're really able to reduce the negative impact on the environment, fine, then you can continue. If not, the story stops. Then there ain't no music anymore. Yeah, this is serious business. But this formula works very well, and it's a kind of alternative as compared to the generic policies that are imposed today, yeah, detailing very precisely what is to be done, what cannot be done, at what time it is to be done. There's an asphyxiation bureaucracy, as everybody knows. Farmers women get very sick of that. You have the whole time to fill in forms to do the digital monitoring, so that's very annoying. And it is not very practicable. It is not working. So this alternative of self-regulation, again legally conditioned self-regulation, is a very nice alternative and a very good policy mechanism.
Aber wie kann nun diese gesetzlich bedingte Selbstregulation funktionieren? Jan Douwe van der Ploeg bringt ein Beispiel, das für unsere Böden nicht unerheblich ist, nämlich die Frage nach gutem Dünger. Nach der guten alten Jauche, auf Englisch manure.
Yeah, for instance, there is this problem of manure in the Netherlands. Manure, the excrements of the cattle, there's far too much, and it produces ammonia, and ammonia contributes to acid rain, and then other part of the losses enter into groundwater, and this gives nitrate problems, and there's a range of problems associated with this. Now, what is the official government policy? That's a kind of end of pipe technology, saying, okay, if this manure is a problem, then we have to isolate it from the environment. First step to build big silos to enclose it. The second step to inject it into the subsoil. Third step. So it goes on and on and on. Instead, this farmer's alternative, this peasant farmer alternative, was very simple. Let's again make good manure. Not this manure, this bad manure that entails a lot of ammonia. We can do better, like in history. And it was a very important part of the art of farming. The knowledge of to make a nice agriculture, making good manure was very essential. It was needed to feed your soil biology to get good yields, to get good production levels, and to be able to feed your cattle. But this was more or less lost, this capacity to have good manure during the big scale increases, the introduction of new technologies, the use of a lot of concentrates. But now the question is, can we make good manure again? More or less their flagship was good manure is not stinking. Yeah, it was a kind of provocation, but they succeeded. And the marvel is this group of peasant farmers, yeah, who did so, who constructed again the good manure that is not stinking, they received, it will be a surprise for you, they received the main prize of the provincial nature conservation organization. So citizens, yeah, the public in general recognized, hey, you guys are doing a very good job. You're helping us to resolve this environmental crisis. And they got this highly valued prize, this distinctive prize. So it shows it's a kind of symbol about first, the role of peasants in current society, and second, the recognition they receive from society at large.
Wirtschaftlichen Abfallprodukten gut umgegangen werden kann, zeigt dieses Beispiel der guten Jauche, der Good Manure und auch, dass es für die gesamte Gesellschaft durchaus relevant ist, wie Bäuerinnen und Bauern solchen Herausforderungen begegnen. Eine große Rolle spielt dabei der gemeinschaftliche Zugang und die Haltung.
There always has been a lot of cooperation in peasant society. There was also the shared values, a kind of moral economy, what was to be done, what was not to be done. For instance, you had to take care, Pflege, this is the Austrian word, you had to take care for the animals, for your soil, but also for the men and women working together with you in production. Care, Pflege was a crucial word. You could not run counter to that. And so there were many other values composing a moral economy. The shared notion was we use ecology, we use nature, which is a gift from heaven, from the gods, whatever. But anyway, it's a great thing. We use it. I mean, no way we are allowed to destroy it. Yeah, we have to respect it, to take care for it, so that next generations can use it as well. And this kind of society, this working together, is reappearing wherever peasants are taking initiatives again. They share, they communicate. They are not lonesome anymore as many of the modern agriculture entrepreneurs, yeah, who are alone on the tractor, who are alone in the milking parlor, but not connected very much anymore to others. So in a way, cooperation and community is reappearing. And then you have the second level of community, that is the surrounding, the local community, the people in the village, in the nearby cities. For them, of course, we have this Dutch saying, people like going for a stroll on their bike, but you never make a trip on the bike around the church, just staying in the village. No, you go to the countryside to enjoy the countryside, but then you need an accessible countryside, that is diversified, where you can stop and have a short meeting, a discussion with other people, just for curiosity, asking what are you doing, and then it's explained. And I mean, this is not coming by itself as such. An environment, such a countryside, is produced by peasants, and it is very much valued, esteemed by the urban populations from the villages, the cities, yeah, who can enjoy it. For them, the countryside is also a space for consumption. They consume the beauty, the scenic landscape, the fresh air. They enjoy passing around. So this is a kind of second level community, and the two are meeting, and it makes for a strong alliance.
Jan Douwe van der Ploeg ist also überzeugt, dass kleinbäuerliche Landwirtschaft wichtig für die Zukunft ländlicher Räume und Gemeinschaften ist. Der Agrarsoziologe hat für sich einen Forschungszweig gefunden, den er als Action Research bezeichnet. Die Wissenschaft soll dabei, kurz erklärt, raus aus dem Elfenbeinturm, raus aus dem Labor und rein ins Feld. Dabei werden sehr individuelle Lösungen für sehr individuelle Probleme gesucht und erforscht. Und die Community, die das Problem betrifft, entscheidet gemeinsam über die beste Lösung. Die kleinbäuerliche Landwirtschaft eignet sich besonders gut als Forschungsfeld für diese Art von Action Research.
Peasants are very open and clear about this. When you're in your dealing with your own farm, every now and then you get blind for certain aspects of your farm. And so farmers through the ages, they always had, they communicated. They visit each other, they discussed what is happening, how are you doing this, what is the outcome, what is your experience with this. And having a foreign eye looking at your farm can be very helpful to notice what is going well and what is going not so well. Your farmers understood it through the ages, and this has also become a major new instrument. It's called the campesino a campesino, meaning let's pass a knowledge directly from practice to other practices. And here, as in between agents, scientists can be very helpful. They can help organize this exchange, help to deepen insights in specific issues. This means that, again, that science is not an alien element, but can become a part of farming practices and farm development. And what you notice is that peasant farmers normally appreciate this this very much.
Das war der Agrarsoziologe Jan Dauwe van der Ploeg über den Zusammenhang von Klima und Landwirtschaft, über die Rolle und Zukunft von kleinbäuerlicher Landwirtschaft und über die wissenschaftliche Forschung, die sozusagen an der Wurzel der Landwirtschaft begleiten und Entscheidungsprozesse unterstützen kann. Mehr zum Thema Boden und zum Thema kleinbäuerliche Landwirtschaft gibt es in den nächsten Folgen vom Klimakaleidoskop zu hören. Bleiben Sie also dran, immer Montag bis Freitag um 16 Uhr mit der Wiederholung am darauffolgenden Tag um 5 nach 8 Uhr.